Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. What a blessing it's already been just being in church. I trust that you feel the same way. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're going to be reading verse 35 down to verse 42. Sunday nights, we've been looking at little-known Bible characters that have a powerful message for us. And Bible characters that you don't hear a lot of preaching on, and when you read the Bible, you might even skip over some of what God has to say about them. I think that there's many Bible characters, and God has a purpose for everyone that He reveals to us in the Bible. And so we've just been going through and studying on some of these little-known Bible characters, going from the New Testament to the Old Testament, back to the New Testament, and giving you a variety of both those little-known Bible characters in the Old Testament and little-known Bible characters in the New Testament. And so tonight, if you would, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading here John chapter 1, verse 35 down to verse 42. The Bible says, again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is to be interpreted by the interpretation, a stone. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do come before you tonight, again, we thank you for allowing us to just to have the health and the opportunity to be in church tonight. I just pray, Father, for all that are here, and you know exactly what's taking place in their lives and maybe even what's taking place in their thoughts right now. And I just pray, God, that you would just speak to each one that have in a way that they need to be spoken to, and in a way that would help them to learn what you have them here tonight to learn and to be drawn closer to you. If there is someone here tonight that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray, God, tonight they would accept that privilege and the opportunity that you've given them to receive Christ before it's eternally too late. Work in our midst tonight. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, the little-known Bible character that we're going to be looking at tonight is Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. This is how Andrew is first introduced in the Scriptures. This is Simon Peter's brother. And Simon was the greater known apostle, and had the grace of God, if you will, to live in the shadows of Peter, Andrew. He had the grace of God to live in the shadows of his brother, and when somebody would introduce Andrew, they would say, oh yeah, he's Simon Peter's brother. And but yet God had a purpose for Simon Peter. Can I tell you tonight, not everybody has the same physical abilities. I realized that as a young boy growing up and went out for sports. And I realized that, you know, some guys are taller than I am. And which will give them an advantage when it comes to playing basketball. And so I didn't like that. So I tried football. And I realized that I was better built for football than I was basketball as a boy. And so I enjoyed playing football because I could take the big guys down. Amen? There's a little more weight to me. And I could use some of that. I was built different. And so I had, not everyone has the same physical abilities. Not everyone has the same mental capacity. I realized that in school as well, you know. And I remember our teacher, one that I vividly remember in third grade, was Mrs. Payne, and she would have us to get up and go behind other students, and she would flip a card. And if it was mathematics, it would be whoever could answer that mathematical question first. And I realized that I could beat most of the boys in mathematics, but there was one girl that I thought, I can't beat this girl. And you'd have to sit down if they got it before you did. Whatever the question was, this is one, I never, but she always liked to come behind me and challenge me, you know. And I realized that not everybody has the same mental capacity. Some are just smarter than others. Amen? Not everyone has the same spiritual abilities. Not everyone is a five-talent spiritual individual. There are some that are just one-talent individuals. And there's others that maybe 3 to 5 talents types of individuals, as we find the Bible talking about that as well. But one thing's for sure, a one-talent individual will not give an account for 5 talents. You will not be able to be held accountable for something you could not obtain. But you will give an account for whatever abilities that you have, whether it be natural abilities or spiritual talents that God has given to us. But the thing we find with Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, is this thought, and the message I'm going to be preaching tonight concerning Andrew is God uses ordinary people. Not everybody excels in physical abilities. Little boys dream to go into professional athletics. And once they get through that junior high, they realize that there's not as many that can compete even in a high school level. You get through a high school level, you realize there's not very many of all of those who had these dreams that can even compete in a college level. And then there's only a few, a very few, that are actually able to physically go on to make a career out of athletics. Not everybody has that kind of ability. Not everybody has that kind of mental capability. It's not God's will, and not everyone has the mental capability of becoming a surgeon or what you hear a lot of, a rocket scientist or whatever it might be. Some children, praise the Lord, when they get C's. Amen? Now, if that's the best they can do, now if they can do better, then don't settle for a C when you're a B student. Or don't settle for a B if you're an A student. But if you're just a C student, don't get upset because you can't make A's. Just give it your best. You hear that all the time. But it is somewhat very true, even when it comes to serving the Lord. But the one thing that we find with Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, is that God uses ordinary people. I believe Andrew to possibly be a one-talent apostle. Now, I believe Peter to be possibly a 5-talent apostle. I believe Paul to be a 5-talent apostle. I mean, these were individuals that were gifted and they could, the Lord would do more with them. Now, it's not based basically upon what they could do, but God would give them, equip them to accomplish what he had for them to accomplish. And he had much more for Peter to accomplish. He had more for Paul to accomplish, especially in developing and taking forth the New Testament church in that first century. But he had a plan for Andrew, because God uses and is not limited by people's natural abilities, but God uses ordinary people. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, look there with me. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. I don't have to be exceptional in my athletic abilities. I don't have to be exceptional in my mental aspect. I don't have to be exceptional even in my spiritual gifts to be used by God to fulfill his call upon my life. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." Now with that said, look at verse 29 and verse 30. "That no flesh," the purpose, "that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye all in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Now, God can use exceptionally talented individuals. He can, and he does. God uses exceptionally those that have exceptional abilities of mind. God can use whatever God chooses to use, but the one thing, and God can use the very simple as well. God uses ordinary people, but I want to show you here that especially as we come to Andrew, God will use those that have a humble spirit. He will not use those that want to glory in the flesh. He will not use those in athletics today. They talk about how confident they are in their athletic abilities. And they might be confident in their athletic abilities, and they might have a certain arrogance to them. And, of course, you'll hear sportscasters will say, well, they need to have that in order to excel and be all they can be as a football player, as a basketball player. Listen to me, they might do that to be a fat basketball player, a football player, but don't think that God is going to choose somebody that's going to glory in their own abilities. Not going to do that. God's not going to, I believe it's somewhat the same as Jesus is telling them. It's very hard, difficult for a rich man to be saved. It's like a camel going through the eye of a needle. And the disciple says, whoa, then who can be saved? And he said, with man, it's not possible, but with God, all things are possible. What it's saying that a rich man will not humble himself to see himself as a lost sinner in need of a Savior. Most of them believe that they're self-made. They're righteous in themselves. The same way with those that have special abilities, whether it be mental or physical or whatever it might be. But listen to me, what we have to understand, whatever abilities you have, God cannot, he will not use you if you do not have this humility before him. And if you have that, he will use you to accomplish all that he has you here to accomplish. And you, by doing that, you will receive the very same rewards as those that have greater talents, because there's going to be a more accountability, a higher accountability for them. But we can walk just as close to God, and we can receive the very same rewards if we are accomplishing what God would have us to accomplish. Which brings us back to Andrew. A man with a humble spirit. James in chapter 4. Andrew was humble in that he didn't let it get to him that people referred to him as Simon Peter's brother. He didn't take offense to that. He didn't think himself being less because they looked at Peter first. And he lived in the shadows. Even as an apostle, he lived in the shadows of his brother Peter. But never will you find anything negative said about Andrew concerning being mentioned only as Simon Peter's brother. That's how he's referred to in the scriptures. So we find that in that, we know as God used him, that he was of a humble spirit. In James, in chapter 4 and verse 10, it says this: humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God does not want you to glory in your abilities, no matter what your abilities are. God does not want you to glory in your ability to think through things and rational all out and have the mind to have all the solutions to the world's problems. God's not going to use you if you want to glory in that. We find here in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. If you go back to verse 6, he says this: but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Which reveals to us that if you're going to be used by God, if you're going to accomplish the most important thing that any individual can accomplish this side of heaven, is the will of God for your life. To get the call of God and to know this is what God would have me to do, and then give yourself to being able to accomplish what God has you here on this planet Earth to accomplish. It does not start with you thinking, well, I'm equipped because I have this kind of ability. It starts with you humbling yourself and say, I can't do it, but I know that God can work through me. As long as I humble myself and yield to him and allow him to strengthen me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. But we have to have that humility to say, I can't do it. But I know that if it's what God wants me to do, he can equip me to get it done. Andrew, go back there with me. This is Andrew. This is the message God has for us through this apostle, but a little known apostle. And when he is mentioned in the Bible, you'll find that he's mentioned as Simon Peter's brother. Verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples. So we find here that Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist first. Now that says quite a bit. For somebody to, in the first century there, to know who John was and become one of his disciples, says quite a bit about that individual. Because look what John was like. Go look back to Matthew chapter 3. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John was known as a very bold and powerful preacher. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So Andrew was one of those first converts. Andrew is one of those that heard John speak and was convicted by the Holy Spirit of God. And the one that even after he heard John speak, he humbled himself and became a follower of John the Baptist. He wasn't looking for glit and glamour. He didn't go to church because of an entertainment. He didn't go to church because of what the church could offer him. He went because of the truth that he heard John preach. And he humbled himself before a man that was dressed in camel's hair and had a leather girdle and who ate locusts and wild honey. But he spoke with the power of God. And he said, that's what I want. Because that's the truth. He had a desire for spiritual truth. Andrew. He didn't want to take John the Baptist's place. He said, this is a man that has the truth, and he doesn't have a mansion. He doesn't have a lot of glit and glamour. He doesn't have a lot of entertainment. He's not looking to entertain the people. He's looking to preach exactly what the Word of God says. And I'm going to follow him. Following him in the shadows prepared him to follow Simon Peter and live in the shadows of Peter, his older brother. After Andrew, go back with me to our text in John chapter 1. After Andrew, now following John the Baptist, one of those disciples, that's what it says here, he was one of those two disciples. When he heard John speak of Christ, and then he heard Jesus and saw him, what did he do? He humbled himself before Christ and picked up his cross and started following him. Verse 38, the Bible says, then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt. He didn't have a mansion either. Didn't have a lot of money tempting him to be one of his disciples. Didn't promise him a lot of worldly wealth and goods. Didn't promise him this position even, where everyone would bow down to him. Position of headship or leadership. That wasn't what he offered. He said, this is what I am, this is what I have to offer. Came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him, and then it reveals who he was, the same Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Andrew became known, and I believe this is a one-talent individual, and I believe he did the most to be known. I think he enjoyed being known as this. But Andrew became known as a faithful witness. A faithful witness. Matter of fact, his first convert was his brother Peter. Look at verse 41. Andrew, he has humbled himself to follow John the Baptist. And John didn't offer him a whole lot. John was just a voice in the wilderness, amen? But Andrew said, hey, he has the truth, and that's what I'm looking for. I don't need all the glitz and glamour. I don't need all this other. I just need the truth, and I need to have something to purpose my life after. And he started following John the Baptist. Then John the Baptist introduced him to Jesus Christ. And when he saw Jesus Christ and knew him to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world, he committed his life and said, whoa, I am going to follow him. And once he realized this was a Christ, what he did is use what he had, and that was a witness that he could be able to approach those and talk to people about the Lord. And he said, this is what I'm able to do. And he first won the first order of a business that he had. Once he knew that Jesus was the Christ, he says, I need to go tell my brother. And he went to tell his brother, Peter. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. That was the beginning, I believe, of a lot of souls that Andrew would bring to the Lord. Think about it. If there had not been an Andrew, Peter might not have been reached. Now, Peter would go on to be the spokesperson for the apostles. Peter would go on to write two of the New Testament books of the Bible. Peter would go on to be a huge influence in the early church in that first century. Peter would go on to even say that I am not worthy to be crucified like my Savior. If you're going to crucify me upside down. The great faith of this great man, Peter. But Peter would have possibly not even been reached for Christ if it had not been for a little known, not very talented, not very bright maybe even, someone that had just ordinary abilities, but who said, God has a purpose for my life. And I might not have a lot, but I have a talent, I have something, and what I have to give, I'm going to use, and that is my witness. You see, Peter was so strong-headed. I mean, that's how Peter. Well, Peter was very talented. I believe that in seeing what he was able to do, Peter had a great mind. There was a lot of things that Peter had. Peter would have been a five talent, and looking at what he accomplished and how God enabled him and how God used him, he still humbled himself, even being as talented and as equipped as he was, he still humbled himself before the Lord, and God used him to accomplish great things. But those very same things which God used to make Peter all that he was could have possibly kept Peter from listening to anybody else. There was a reason that God chose to reach Andrew to be the one to reach Peter. It could have been that Peter would have not been open to hearing anybody else tell him about the gospel outside of a connection that he had with his brother. Can I tell you, you might have a brother in that very same situation. You might have a sister, very talented, very gifted, so talented and so gifted that they don't want to listen to some fundamental preacher. So talented and so gifted and so caught up with what they're able to do, they're not going to come to a church. But you have access to them. You have a platform that no one else might have to be used by the Lord. Can I tell you, I am confident that everyone in this auditorium tonight has at least one that only you can reach. And it could be, if you fail to reach them, they will not be reached. And they'll die and go to a devil's hell. But I believe there's some that if we did reach, could possibly start using their talents and using their abilities like Peter did to accomplish some great things for the Lord. But it takes possibly an ordinary person that has a platform in that person's life. It could be a mother and father. It could be an aunt and uncle. It could be a coworker. Might be a schoolmate. Might be a next door neighbor. But you're so caught up in that, I don't have anything to offer. There's somebody else better equipped than I am to do it. And the truth of it is, it might not get done unless you yield to doing what God would have you to do and be that witness. God started using Andrew right after Andrew started following Christ. Well, I'm just too young of a Christian. I don't know what to say. I've not memorized the whole Bible. God started using Andrew right after he started following Christ. What did he know? If you're saved, he knew what you know. If you know what it takes to get saved, if you don't, you're not saved. Amen? If you're saved here tonight, can I tell you, you know what you did in order to have the confidence of your own salvation. That's what most of the world needs to hear. Most of the world's lost. And they're blinded to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Most of the world has never heard a clear plan of salvation. If you have been saved, you have heard a clear plan of salvation. And not only have you heard it, you believed it, and you did what the Bible said you needed to do. Listen to me. You have been equipped to help somebody else to do the very same thing. Ordinary people. Andrew. Wow. Who knows who we can reach and what plans God has for us and them. One of the regrets of my life as a teenager, I'd gotten away from the Lord, but I had rededicated my life. And I was getting things organized, getting back into church, and getting my life back on track. And I worked at Bob Baker Chevrolet on Shadeland. That dates me. That's a long time ago. But that's where I was doing body work and just helping with my brother. My brother-in-law was the body shop manager there. And I was just learning the trade way back then. And one of the young men that was there had a terrible upbringing, and he had heard that I had went to church. I remember I was back actually detailing some cars out. His name was Preston, and he came to me, and I can remember this vividly. He came to me and he said, "I heard you're a churchgoer." And to myself, I mean, I had just started turning back to the Lord, and I said, "Well, you know, somewhat." And he says, "I've always wondered what they're talking about being saved. Do you know what that means? Do you know how to get saved?" And I remember thinking that, I've not been a testimony that I should be here. I'm going to hold off until they see me more of being a church person, somebody that's going to church and somebody that's ready to witness. And I remember telling him, I said, "No, not really." And as soon as he walked away, I was convicted that I should have helped this 19-year-old young man on what to do to be saved. That was on a Friday. That next day on a Saturday, he stole a motorcycle. That was his M.O. I mean, he hung around. That's what the kind of people he was part of. And he stole a motorcycle from Washington Square, and he was running from the police on this motorcycle going down Washington Street. And when he come to Post Road, he was going about 90 miles an hour, and somebody pulled in front of him. And on the stolen motorcycle, the motorcycle rammed right into this car. He flew over the car, and his head was collapsed when he hit the ground. He hit the curb. And at that moment, the day after, I had an opportunity to share with him the gospel. He died and went into eternity lost. I don't like to think about that. I don't like to think about my failures. But God gave me an opportunity. And I didn't do it because I thought, "I'm going to wait till I get a better testimony at work, until I establish more of what I need to be." I failed to take advantage of that opportunity. Just an ordinary man. God had given me opportunities. That's something that, well, I'll never overcome because I can't do anything about it now. But I remember at his funeral, he had a pregnant girlfriend. She was 8 months pregnant. He was laying in the casket, and she come by the casket. And she actually grabbed his body and trying to pull his body and said, "No, you can't leave me. You can't leave me." And I knew exactly where he was at. If he'd have gotten saved, I don't think he would have went to steal a motorcycle the very next day. That would have been a turning point. Not only for him, but for this woman and that unborn child. I don't know how many Prestons that you might have in your life. But I'm telling you, when God gives you an opportunity, do what he tells you to do. Amen. You don't want to have to live with the results of a failure to witness for Christ. After Andrew reached Peter, we find him with children. Yeah, that's what the Bible... Now, the Bible records about the life of Andrew. After this, we find Andrew with children. John chapter 6, look over there with me. Got to hurry here, but John chapter 6, verse 5 down to verse 9. This is something you would have read over. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now he's dealing with Philip here, and he's trying to help Philip to realize some things. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. But one of his disciples, look right here, Andrew, again, Simon Peter's brother. Not just Andrew, but no, he was Simon Peter's brother. Saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. What are they among so many?" Now, who would know what the children would have except someone working with the children to bring them to hear Jesus? I love that. The Bible, now, if you didn't know that, if we're studying Andrew, you would not associate, and you would probably read over that 100 times, and not associate that with this Andrew, this humble, ordinary man. Didn't have a lot of exceptional abilities and talents, but he was known as someone who would witness for Christ. He was the one aware of the lad. That word lad means a boy or youth. Andrew would have been, if it was today, a bus worker bringing children to Christ. Jesus would tell them not to forsake the children and not to keep the children from him. Bring them to me. I want them. They need to hear from me. They need my blessings. But some people think, well, no, that's not for me. I've got other abilities. I've got other talents. I've got this, whatever. But praise God for those who say, I might not be able to do much, but I can reach children. I can work on a bus route. I can do my part to reach in some of these bus children, because you never know when one of them might be the next Peter. Or one of them might be the one that God would use their lunch to feed 5,000. It would not have been possible if there wasn't somebody there saying, I can't do much, but I can witness for Christ. And I might not even be able to reach adults, but I can reach children for Jesus. Praise the Lord for that. Andrew knew Jesus as Savior, and he wanted to tell anybody and everybody, to somebody who would listen. Can I tell you, even if you can't get adults to listen, you can find a child to listen to you. Amen. One of the easiest classes to build is a junior high. You say, why junior high? Because they're at that age where they don't want to be at home. They want to get out. But they're limited because they can't drive. And they don't have friends that have cars as of yet. And so, hey, I want to get out of the house. And I want to have something to do. And you get a junior high worker going to them and say, hey, we got youth and I'll pick you up. I'll come. If you'll get me there and you'll be, we'll have fun and we'll have refreshments and we'll have other things going on. Yes, I'm wanting to be active. I'm trying to get away from the house and I'm trying to grow up a little bit and whatever it might be. Children are going to, as they get older, they're going to be more active. And the wise parent will not try to keep them in the house the whole time. They'll make sure that they get involved in good activities. And they'll come. And they'll be more apt to listen. Get in high school years, then they start worrying about so many things and impressing boys and girls and all the different, and then their mind's on everything else, and it's harder to get them to listen. But listen to me, the idea there is just be a witness. There's somebody that will listen. There's somebody that'll listen. Lastly, we find one other passage of scripture with Andrew, John chapter 12. Got to close with this. John chapter 12 and verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desiring him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Philip said, this is another apostle. But because of what Andrew was known for, he said, I got to run this by Andrew and let him witness to him. We find other disciples bringing people to Andrew because Andrew was known as a faithful witness. Lee Robertson said, you may not be much, but you can be faithful. I love just the simple statement, but so true. You might not have exceptional abilities, might not be the most athletic, might not be the smartest, gifted, but you can be faithful. You can be faithful to do what's most important for the work of Christ, and that is to tell others. You never know how God might want to use you to reach another Peter or to give someone else a last chance of being saved. Be faithful to witness. Thank God for a little known Bible character by the name of Andrew. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Andrew, better known as Simon Peter's brother, but he was known as a witness. Faithful witness. Oh, that we would just be faithful to tell others about Christ. Invite others to come to church. What a blessing to be used by God. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for Andrew, this little known Bible character, known as Simon Peter's brother, but did a great work for the cause of Christ. And I pray, God, that we might be able to possibly identify with someone like Andrew. And I pray, God, that you would burden our hearts and even right now prick and help us to see what we can do instead of focus on what we can't. I pray tonight, God, that there would be some that would just commit to being a faithful witness. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.